Run for cover. This is Radioactive Sports with superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson.
I take pride in my hair.
Feel that? Radioactive Sports in the afternoon on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
The biggest thing for us is just making sure that we're focused on ourselves, focused on our start, feed off the crowd. If I remember last year, you know, every game it seemed to get louder and louder. So as crazy as last game was, I would expect it to be at least the same, if not louder. So how we can get that crowd into it, how we can get them going early, you know, how we can balance making sure that we got the right energy, the right, you know, excitement, enthusiasm, but maintaining our focus and, you know, kind of composure is going to be real important too.
Real important.
I mean, you know, I mean, I think a lot of things are very important. I think that tonight, perhaps, the most important thing is you win.
Yeah, you got to score more goals than the other guy.
That's another good point. And I think that if we go up 3-1 on them, I think we still got a lot of work to do, even though that is the case. Yeah. If that were to happen tonight, when you go back to St. Louis, let's not forget that we lost seven straight years. No matter how many games we played down there in those 7 years, we didn't win one until this time around. So not an easy place to go and scrum down.
No, but remember, if we win tonight, we're up 3-1. We still have a game back here at the XL Energy Center. I believe that would be Sunday, so we could wrap things up here. Mike Yeo, and we'll hear a clip from him later on in the show today, saying as far as he can remember, it gets louder and louder and louder every game.
Yeah.
The deeper the Wild get into the playoffs.
That's possible. But it is.
It's going to be awesome.
I think it's amazing that for the people that really know the game, hockey, as they said, a lot of them have said, Mark Parrish being the first one that I'll mention, is that they played as good a game as you could expect to play in a playoff game last time.
Oh, yeah.
Here at the XL Energy Center.
You don't take any penalties. You don't allow any goals. I mean, you can't get much better than that.
I mean, and they kept everyone off Dubnyk anyway. I mean, he only had to defend 19 shots, I think.
17.
17?
I think it was 17. I'm going to ask you a question. Is this my water or your water? I ask you because there are lipstick marks on here, and I think it might be...
Mine. That's mine, then.
Okay.
That's mine.
Yep.
You think it's the right shade for me?
I think it brings out your eyes. We're going to talk about Bruce Jenner a little bit in 4.5 questions, and then we're also going to have to talk about him when he comes closer to Friday, because there's that two-hour special with Bruce Jenner and the greatest athlete of all time. Decathlon.
He was.
Gold medalist.
I'll tell you right now, watching him when I was watching him growing up, and I think he went to Graceland College, which is about 40 miles away from my hometown. Bruce Jenner. Mrs. Jenner. That guy could
Miss
roll.
Miss Jenner, I think. I don't think
it might be Miss Jenner. Yeah, okay. But I honestly cannot remember a more well-rounded or dominant athlete, at least in that day and time. He was unbelievable.
You ever think he would be an adult and then see him transition into a woman?
I cannot fathom that, because he was a man's man. He really was, and he ended up on the Wheaties box and everything else. I mean,
Six kids.
Yeah,
I'm going to say three ex-wives now. There was a photo of him taken yesterday. It was all over Entertainment Tonight, everybody. He was in a long dress, striped dress, having smokes, doing some stretching out on his back patio in a dress. And you see the Diane Sawyer, it's Bruce Jenner, the interview. You see the previews coming up on ABC. He kind of looks hot.
I'll bet he does.
For an old lady?
Yeah.
He's kind of attractive. But,
you know, the one really hot thing about Bruce, whatever his name is going to be.
Isn't it Nancy or Nikki or something like that?
Nikki Jenner? That'd be cute.
Can't remember what it is. It's something, Rachel, I don't remember, but supposedly there's a name. But on Friday, the two-hour interview is him saying goodbye to Bruce.
When you say goodbye to Bruce, do you mean that there might be the last part or two that goes away, and that is truly the end of Bruce, and anything that could resemble Bruce?
Supposedly he was wearing a sports bra while he was riding his Harley the other day, because maybe he had some augmentation surgery.
Well, yeah, I mean, he wants to be racked out. But I think it'd be kind of cool. Well, he wants to be a hot old sea hag. So here's the deal. I think the hottest thing that he could possibly do is do those stretches out on the back deck and then do some high hurdles in that dress.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You?
Riding a Harley in the dress? No, I don't know.
Pole vaulting in a nice big dress like that. Just a prom dress, just throwing javelin like a son of a bitch, man.
Quite interesting, but just sock that away somewhere. We're going to talk about that on Friday because of the big two-hour special.
That's the end of Bruce.
Yep.
I mean, you won't see that dude. You won't see that dude on a Wheaties box ever again. Now, you might see something else on a Wheaties box, just in a sort of a commemorative tribute to goodbye to Bruce. Mm-hmm.
Another thing is I was waiting for you to get here today. I got here early and was hoping you'd be here early so we could hug it out before the show like we normally do.
It's not too late.
All of a sudden, breaking news all over ESPN SportsCenter. Greg Hardy suspended 10 games without pay, the first 10 games, after signing a one-year $15 million contract with the Dallas Cowboys because of activities detrimental to the league, dating back to the reason he was on the commissioner's exempt list last year when Adrian Peterson was on, because he was convicted at the time, and I'm not exactly sure the exact phrase or the thing that he was actually convicted of, but it was battery, it was abuse of a woman 4 times. That was overturned somehow in the legal system. I'm not a lawyer. We'll have to talk to Marsh Albert on Friday about it.
Right.
The NFL said, no, I'm not happy with that. They did their own investigation. And now he suspended 10 games. I feel like the NFL needs to... That's whose water it was.
You know what? She took that water from you. I mean, what sort of person would do something like that?
There are lipstick marks on that water, and I thought it was his because he wears lipstick.
No, it was mine. No, it's mine. It's mine. I wiped mine off just now, but... Huh? You want it back?
No, my God, I don't.
I want mine back. I want that glass of water in front of me and another freshener of lipstick too. You... I'm all out, so whatever it takes. But I have to reapply. I'm a weird dude. I'm just like Bruce. What were you going to say about the NFL? I mean, you're mad about the NFL.
Well, I feel like the NFL, and I felt the same way with the Adrian Peterson situation. You can't just keep guys and keep suspending guys. Granted, I don't condone what Greg Hardy did by any means. It's disgusting. But when the court of law rules and then makes a final decision, why can the NFL go back? It's double jeopardy.
Because he works for them. I mean, he works for those guys. I mean, you can have
your own. He didn't play last year.
I know he didn't. But they didn't. This is a new suspension, new money. Just I mean, stupid. Because they found it to be completely different than the court of law, and they found it that, you know what, we know what happened. We know you had a good attorney. We also know that you got off the hook there a little bit, and whatever the case. I don't know. He wasn't paid, though. Or was he paid?
He was. He was on the commissioner's exempt list last year.
So he's going to get his now. And
so take me away from him from last year, like the NFL's doing with Adrian Peterson, it seems like.
Yeah.
He sat out. He was inactive. Take that money away. Let him play. It's nothing new.
Wow.
I hate the NFL.
No, it's nothing new, but he didn't pay. And so he's going to, who knows if he's got that money. It's maybe gone. I mean, literally, he's going to probably have to go ahead and.
Well, then you take it out of his game checks this year.
Well, he will. He's not going to play. He's not going to play, and he's going to give those checks to them. I mean, they won't have to pay that. I mean, essentially, they're into him for about $5 million at the end of the year.
I hate it. So, by the way,
you know what? I'm sure that he hates you too. I'm sure that.
No, I like Rick Hardy. I'm trying to defend him. I'm trying to defend Adrian Peterson. Peterson should be upset with the Vikings.
Yeah.
He should be upset with the NFL. The NFL is. It's almost like they're a big brother. They're Russia. It's like, dude, obviously I'm not condoning what Adrian Peterson or Greg Hardy or any of these guys have done in the off-season, but let the court of law do the punishment. Yeah, and once the court of law decides, then you punish. If the court of law decides not to punish, then why is the NFL punishing?
So if you get off the hook, you get a really good attorney, and he gets you off the hook. Say you have Marsh Hallberg, a really, really super good attorney, and he gets you off the hook from something that's just off the charts. And then, of course, the company that we work for, you and I, and by the way,
they wouldn't
if they haven't,
I would sue them to death, and probably win, don't you think?
Well, not if they went back and found the same things and just had a different way of looking at it than, let's say, the attorneys or the court case, and they said, you know, he still works for us. And by the way, this out to our station, I've seen him steal stuff around the office. Are you going to bring it back? Say,
am I going to bring the stuff that I've stolen to the office? No.
Well,
no, but I haven't stolen.
You're not going to tell anyone that I helped you, right?
Of course I will. I'll tell everybody.
Well, don't tell. Wait, I just told everyone. It's too bad. It's a shame.
Do that.
Nope.
You just can't do that. I
know what you're talking about. I know where you're coming from on that. It just seems like if the court of law says this is how the law applies to what he just did, and it is the most disturbing, I think, maybe offense that a football player could be involved in, is the domestic abuse and child abuse and all this other stuff that's come up just recently in the past couple of years in the National Football League. But I don't know. I guess the NFL has their chance. Would any big company call us? I mean, 651-989-9105, if you have any input on this. Does the company have some say? You know, say you're acquitted and you come back to work and they go, wait just a minute, we're not the jury, but we are your company, and we didn't see it that way. I don't know. I mean, can you do it or not? I suppose you could file a lawsuit against your company. But do you really want your job when you come back?
Greg Hardy suspended without pay for 10 games. The Dallas Cowboys notified today by the NFL he's been suspended for conduct detrimental to the league in violation of the NFL Constitution and bylaws, the NFL player contract, and the NFL personal conduct policy. In a letter from Commissioner Roger Goodell, Hardy was informed that an extensive two-month NFL investigation following the dismissal of his case in North Carolina State Court determined that there was sufficient credible evidence that Hardy engaged in conduct that violated NFL policies in multiple respects and with aggravating circumstances.
So I guess when you're looking at it in those terms, the same terms that everyone in the NFL have to abide by, is that he still, outside of the legal case, he still has several things that he has stepped outside of the parameters within the National Football League policy of personal conduct. So they can apply that.
The NFLPA is going to sue, don't you think, on his behalf?
Well, I think there's going to be some noise on that one. I know there will be. And I mean, Jerry Jones is going to be... Jerry Jones probably is pretty just a little bit on the angry side too, because his big NFL that he's all buddy buddy with Goodell, and I mean that just sank his ship because he had a pretty good player ready to line up and play defensive end.
So let's focus this back towards Minnesota. Obviously, does that make the Dallas Cowboys that much more aggressive in trying to get Adrian Peterson? Does that make them more? I don't know. What do you call it?
Paranoid about the next transaction to a guy that's got a track record.
Well, paranoid, but are they grasping at Adrian Peterson now because now they've lost Greg Hardy for 10 games? Adrian Peterson, clean slate, ready to go, $12.75 million, and cleared $12.8 million.
And he's completely cleared with the league too. I mean, obviously, all this that has taken place over the last couple months is, you know, all about the league, too, that he's been cleared to be reinstated. So he wouldn't have the hurdle, apparently, that Greg Hardy still had to jump over. And I don't know whether Dallas is the team that really wants to trade big. I mean, they've got money socked into Greg Hardy, too. I know they won't have to pay the whole thing, but certainly, doesn't that count against the cap somehow, though, still?
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah.
Just got a tweet. I'm surprised that you're defending Greg Hardy. Playing in the NFL is not a right. It's a privilege. My company would fire me. But
what I thought, too.
I'm going back to the fact that I get that it's not a right. It's a privilege to play in the NFL.
Right.
But double jeopardy is something completely different. And when the court of law says, you know, we made a mistake and we don't find there to be enough evidence...
Yeah.
For us to uphold this conviction of Greg Hardy, and then the NFL, your job comes back and says, well, we found stuff. No!
Maybe they didn't find stuff. What they're saying is there were some things. I mean, he was taken care of by law. Okay, that court was heard. You know, the decision was, they came to a decision, but when he got back into the league, they said, look, there are still like four or five things that you still have to answer for that you broke in terms of the personal contract policy that we have in place
that
every player has to abide by. You have two or three things that are outside of those lines. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, we got to do this.
After the court of law ruled.
Yeah. I mean, because law is law, and that's what he did. That was what he did to his girlfriend or his wife or fiance, whatever she was. This is NFL league policy, player policy.
But his conviction was overturned and dismissed.
For the case against his gal. But that
so
is,
if your record is clean, then you shouldn't have to be punished for something else beyond that fact.
I'm just saying the conduct detrimental to the team and to the league is a different issue completely. I mean, so they're going to make him stand down for 10 more weeks.
I just hate Roger Goodell the way that he and the league pushed through the Super Bowl here in Minnesota. No taxes, no this, no that. And what he does and goes back and suspending Adrian Peterson, keeping Greg Hardy on the commissioner's exempt list. Listen, what Greg Hardy did is disgusting. He deserves to pay for that. But we are a country again of laws and of penalties.
But I'm sure that every top company in this country has their own set of guidelines and a personal conduct policy that you have to abide by. So when he was clear to come back and work again for the league, they said, wait just a minute, you haven't been charged for anything in this league yet. You were on the exempt list. And I agree with what you're saying about Goodell. I mean, Goodell, well, I do too. But Goodell, by the way,
because that's a punishment.
The
exempt list is a punishment. So then go back and say, Adrian Peterson, you got to sit out six more games.
But paid punishment in Greg Hardy's case.
Take away the payment.
I don't like Goodell's way of doing things by the seat of his pants. I mean, he's just sort of wheels and deals and shoots from the hip like John Wayne. I don't like that. I mean, he just makes things up on the fly. So I'm with you on that one. If you should have somewhat of an issue and you're a little bit like Greg Hardy or even a touch like Greg Hardy, get a hold of these people, Rogoszewski and Atkins. They are criminal defense attorneys. Before you blow, call Rogo or anything else, I suppose they could help you out.
I thought you were going to say, if I was anything like Greg Hardy, and if I was anything like Greg Hardy, I would expect you to do me a favor and break my legs. Both of them.
I'd do you a favor. Well, I know one thing. If it's Greg Hardy, that'd be a pretty tough guy to break legs on. I know that much. I would clip you. I could run from behind.
If you're hitting women and children, you're doing stupid stuff.
Well, that's true.
You deserve what you get. I just don't like the double jeopardy of it. But we got to move on, everybody.
Listen, we're going to right now. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, what am I looking at here? I need an eye exam. Are you telling me that Elizabeth Meineke is okay and can talk with us next?
Yep.
I mean, are we really going to have to put her through this?
Yep.
Because we're going to play the St. Louis Blues again tonight.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to win.
Yeah.
We're up 2-1.
Yep.
Looks like we're going to be talking some smack.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's what you have to look forward to.
I'm
going to
ask her if she hates Steve Ott as much as we do, because as far as I'm hearing from other radio stations in St. Louis and some of the write-ups and whatnot, they're getting sick of Steve Ott. So we'll ask her about that. We'll ask her about some other things.
I think Steve Ott is sick of Steve Ott.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Who knows? Anyway,
come on. He has red hair. Do you blame him? They have no souls.
Well, so he's just like Matt Burke. So I agree. He is soulless. Can someone please run me some lipstick? I'm sorry. I feel bare naked right now without my lipstick on. Come on back, everybody. That was a weird thing to say. Elizabeth Meineke, next.
The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, only on 105 The Ticket.
Joey Logano just screams out into the lead. McMurray's locked in the second. Matt Kenseth and Kevin Harvick side by side for third.
Saturday night at America's premier short track, Richmond International Raceway. The Toyota Owners 400 is live Saturday night at 5.
That's the battle for the lead in turn one.
This is Brad Keselowski.
This is Dale Earnhardt Jr.
This is Jeff Gordon.
This is Jimmy Johnson.
This is Kevin Harvick.
Your home for NASCAR in the Twin Cities is Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. You're listening to 105 The Ticket. Back to superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson.
Well, that's not our game. We're trying to play a fast speed hockey game, not get caught up in that stuff. It's, like I said before, you don't want to do anything to jeopardize your team this time of the year. It's bigger than yourself.
People are upset with me on Twitter about this whole Greg Hardy deal. That and Mike, our engineer here, wants us to now call him Bruce Transgender.
That's pretty funny. That's pretty funny.
Isn't that great?
That's funny.
I love it.
You know, funny enough, if it hadn't been Bruce or not, I think I might have, to be honest.
Bruce Transgender. Oh, there's the lipstick here.
Well.
Here, let me put it on.
I need a mirror.
Okay.
I need to apply that properly so that I look like the Maybelline rep that I am.
Poor Elizabeth Meineke from St. Louis, the beat reporter for the Blues, Fox Sports Midwest, is probably just listening on the phone going, did I agree to come on with these guys yet again? We're in a completely different mood. We're up 2-1.
Well,
we're down here at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub down the street from the XL Energy Center. So take that, Elizabeth Meineke.
Yeah, we got this in the bag.
I don't think I can top that Bruce transgender comment. I'm already in a hole here. So.
Well, you know what? Welcome to the show. Regardless, you're. St. Louis Blues find themselves down 2-1. They're a tough team. They've given us fits for years and years. Certainly not out of it, but close to it. Very close to it. Elizabeth, your thoughts? And I know that there will be a different, I'm sure, a different strategy of some sort.
Hitchcock's changing up the lines
I'm
already.
I'm sure of that. I'm
Backus
sure.
Backus and Oshie are on the first line, I believe, and then they have a goon line, if I'm not mistaken, Elizabeth. Reeves and Ott. And then some other roughhouser you've got on there on the fourth line, too.
Well, I'm not sure if you could call Marcel Gotze necessarily a roughhouser, but he is going back to a formation that he had success with earlier in the year. They, you know, each of these lines, the top line is Steenbachs and Oshie, and then if you put Schwartz with Tarasenko and Laterra, and then that third line of Stastny, Yaskin and Berglund, each of those kind of individually, those lines had success at different points throughout the year. Obviously, first came the, you know, Tarasenko-Laterra line. They got that nickname, the SPL, if you threw in Schwartz with them. And then when they tapered off a little bit, you know, the top line kind of took over and really dominated. And then that third line kind of came in. So this is a lineup that they've had success with in the past, and we'll have to see if it is able to kind of break that scoring drought that they had on Monday.
Yeah, that was awesome. It's hard to win games when you can't score.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And that's why you find yourself down 2-1 and probably with the same outcome tonight. Let me ask you this, though. What's this Steve Ott guy all about anyway? I mean, he seems to take great joy in being the guy that he is. Well, yeah, I mean, he's a cheap shot artist and the kind of guy that, quite frankly, should be in jail, I think. And I don't know. I mean, that's just my thoughts.
We're not talking Jarrett Stoll here right now at this point. Steve Ott's reputation is it really hasn't changed that much since he's been in the league. He's played for several different teams, and I don't want to misquote Wayne Gretzky, but he was actually he did a radio interview this week, and he kind of said, you know, good for Steve Ott if the other team's talking about him. So for Ott, that's half the battle. So if you're paying attention, to someone on the fourth line, that is half the battle.
Yeah. The reason he's had to play for several different teams is because there are warrants for his arrest on every team he's played for in that city. So that's why. That's probably why.
Talking to Elizabeth Meineke, the
he was a co-captain up in Buffalo, so he obviously identified some leadership qualities there. So.
Well, Buffalo may be the worst team in the NHL, so I wouldn't necessarily put that as a feather in my cap. We're talking to Elizabeth Meineke, the beat reporter for the Blues for Fox Sports Midwest, down there in St. Louis. Elizabeth, what is the reaction, and take the temperature for us down there in St. Louis? How are Blues fans taking this series so far, especially the other night when we had guys like Matt Dumba, just a young kid who is playing really well, playing above his head, but I think he's going to grow into this role, and he's going to be an amazing professional at some point. He's scored that great goal for us, I want to say, in game one. Take the temperature, though, from Blues fans when our guys are not taking the bait, are not fighting your guys. Didn't have any penalties, didn't allow any goals on Monday night, and it just, as I'm watching on TV, our guys are laughing at your guys.
Well, I think the big thing with Blues fans is, you know, they have enough to kind of look at on their own team, even without worrying about how well Minnesota's playing. You know, I think, you know, the Blues really, as the series has developed, have realized that they have two enemies, not just the Wild, a very good opponent, but they also kind of have themselves. I feel like they think that they have not played, you know, their best game yet, that they haven't really even got a chance, or not gotten a chance, but haven't taken the chance to play their game. And I think fans realize that. You know, fans who've watched throughout the year, fans who've watched this team throughout the past few years, know that they can bring something better to the ice. Whether or not that turns into a win, I think fans would still like to see the team look a little bit more like themselves. And, you know, if you're going to lose, you might as well lose playing your game and, you know, giving it your best effort. And I think that, you know, right now, it seems like they haven't even been able to do that. So I think what they need to get out of their own way first. So I think fans are kind of focused on that, initially.
Well, We feel pretty good about ourselves. I bet you can't tell. But we feel pretty good about ourselves because we're up 2-1 right now. But I'd just like to make one observation if I could. And that is, I don't know how you guys made it in the playoffs. I don't know how you're here.
Oh,
and
geez,
right now, I think it's embarrassing, quite frankly, that you are representing the NHL with
Come
this
on.
Team. I don't mean that. I don't mean any of that. But it's close to that.
Seriously, though, Superstar,
they're a tough team.
Tonight, if tonight happens the opposite way, that we, I mean, it's past our bedtime here in Minnesota. It's an 8:30 faceoff, 8:41 actually,
yes,
to be exact, faceoff. Last night's game, the Chicago Blackhawks and the Predators from Nashville, it went to like 1:15. So that could happen here again, and
it could
go anyway, and we could be tied up 2-2 after tonight.
Very easily.
Heading back down to St. Louis, and then, boom, there goes the Minnesota Wild's home ice advantage, which they've had now, winning that one game down there in St. Louis, and then obviously being 1-0 here back at home. So everything could change on a dime. Obviously,
no question.
Appreciate the fact that, Elizabeth, you come on with us and have fun and let us know how everything's going down there in St. Louis, but it's definitely an interesting series, and as long as the Wild continue to play their game, I think you said the same thing about the St. Louis Blues. What is their game, and what are they trying to go back to find their game, to try and find themselves, which is interesting to me by being a team that is so successful in the regular season, a team that's had the Minnesota Wild's number for so many years, hadn't won a game in St. Louis since 2007 prior to the season, for a team that has had so many early exits in the playoffs to be finding themselves right back there again, and like you said, fighting their own ghosts. It's definitely an interesting series, and one that I hope obviously we win.
Well, I will agree with you that I would prefer not to have things go into what was a triple overtime. I mean, those are just those 8:30 p.m. starts. I think they do that more than anything else, just to, you know, weed out the weak media members from the strong, because it's kind of a marathon instead of a sprint out there that way. But, you know, I do think that I think that there is the sense of that, you know, now it's kind of now or never with the Blues at this point. They do have to win in Minnesota. They're going to have to do that. You're right. They kind of put themselves, you know, on their heels by losing that game one, by losing their own home ice advantage, which they'd really worked the whole year to earn. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's a kind of a, in a certain way, it's a do or die moment for them, and we'll see if they take advantage of it.
Will you talk to us on Friday, another game Friday, and then we can also talk and swap our Bruce Jenner, transgender stories as well. I've already got that thing TiVo'd. I already have that thing DVR'd, 2-hour special on ABC.
Yeah, I will be at the game, so unfortunately, I'll have to just check in with you guys to get the story on that.
We will have a full review of that. That's what we do best. And thank you again for coming on. And you guys have a tough, rough and tumble team. We are not done by any means, but thanks for being a good sport again, as always, Elizabeth Meineke.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Take care.
We got 4.5 questions.
I have a couple of
I don't
doozies.
Know. I'm going to say probably two of those are Minnesota Wild questions. Mm-hmm. One is a Greg Hardy question. Four is an Adrian Peterson question.
Nope, you're wrong.
Nope, you're completely wrong. So I guess we'll have to wait and see what he's put together, everybody. Ben Holson has 4.5 questions aligned just for me. Come on back. Radioactive Sports.
Passionate sports talk.
If you don't get injured and nicked up again, like we always seem to.
Well, look at the Wild. Look at the Timberwolves. Look at the Vikings this last year. We're cursed. Minnesotans and their sports teams, we're cursed.
I agree. We're a bunch of softies.
On your sports station, 105 The Ticket.
Great stop by Maurer. Thompson covers the bag, and a good play by Joe Maurer for the first out.
Yeah, very nice play by Joe, just falling to his right and smothering that ball that Moustakas hit sharply.
Got him right in the bag, Seth.
Did he mean the bag, or did he mean putting his foot on the bag, or did he mean like...
I don't think he meant that. I think he meant, the baseball bag, yeah.
Oh, well, either way, I've had a little trouble with my bag lately, too.
Well, what you were telling me during the break.
I mean, I'll try and break that down. I don't know. I don't know if I have a revised version that is worth that I can tell that story on the air with.
Just do me a favor and finish drawing me the picture of the discussion we were having about your bag.
Well, not really my bag.
But
close to my bag.
Yeah.
Listen, here's my bag, Dad. I normally take 4 questions from you.
I'll give you 4 questions. I have one. I'll give you a halfie too.
Thank you.
No, I'm sorry.
And then I think we'll delve into this thing. I was predicting a lot of wild,
nope.
a lot of maybe Greg Hardy, but I don't think we'd want to continue on that because you have berated the fan base with your
thoughts. Not the fan base. No, Roger Goodell in the NFL, although the fan base, the people listening to Sports Radio 105, the ticket, weren't very happy with my take, according to Twitter. But that's fine. I mean, everybody, that's why we have a telephone number, 651-989-9105. We can agree to disagree. You can agree. Mm-hmm. You can call up in the radio station, yell, berate me. I don't care. Do it.
Go ahead.
Fair game. Four and a half questions, though. Here we go. Four questions. The Twins scored four runs on two outs in the top of the sixth last night. I thought, oh, boy, here we go. This is going to be fun. We're going to kick these Kansas City Royals behind. But then the bullpen collapsed in on itself. Casey Fien took the loss. Glenn Perkins, who hadn't pitched in 4 days, allowed the go-ahead run off a single from Markakis in the bottom of the eighth. This Twins team, basically a work in progress. What would you say is paramount for the Twins to address, work on, and or fix that if they want to become a respectable team? Because there have been flashes this year, but not consistency, and they haven't just put it all together. What's the most important thing the Twins need to focus on and then build from there?
I think that probably staying together when it gets like this, probably keeping it all together, not making wholesale changes, just playing good, solid, fundamental baseball. I mean, just working at your craft. Every chance you get, try to get better every day and stick together. I mean, be cohesive. Everyone needs to be in that thing together down there. No finger pointing, no blame. We lost that thing today. We can do better. Let's go out and do better. And I think it will finally come around. It's a new team. I mean, almost every team has a new face or two or a new skipper. I mean, there are several teams in that situation as well. But I think if you just stay the course, don't think that you have to do something, you know, like a wholesale change to revamp everything with just whatever number of games we're into the season.
Imagine what they would be and how much it would help the starting rotation and the bullpen, because the Twins have found some offense now, if Ricky Nolasco and Irvin Santana were giant douchebags.
I mean, that's, you know, that was the question going into this.
Just imagine that.
Is this really going to be the collapse, losing first Santana, and then Nolasco having the lightning bolt in his arm, in his pitching arm, after a pitch, and being sent back here? The answer was, yeah, we might be able to pitch around it. And then it seemed as if, though, we were being able to do that and fill in for them.
But that
is only going to last so long. Yeah. I mean, those guys, we were counting on them. We would have won a game like that yesterday with a guy like Santana, for sure.
Well, we wouldn't have, had the pressure on the bullpen, because we found offense, and Tommy Malone allowed a couple of home runs. He's the best pitcher on the rotation right now, and he's a soft throwing pitcher spots type of guy. We're going to rely on a guy like Tommy Malone.
He paints the corners, but you got to have a lot more than that.
Yeah. Question two, yesterday we talked about Flip Saunders saying he's going to be the coach of the Timberwolves until he says he's not going to be the coach of the Timberwolves. Today, the Oklahoma City Thunder fired coach Scott Brooks. You'll all know him, obviously, as the guy who wins a ton of games. He's also had two of the best players in the NBA with Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, plus a nice supporting staff to surround those two guys with. But should the Timberwolves be interested in Scottie Brooks? I like
you
him.
Know, I like him as well. But as you mentioned, I mean, he was part of a pretty good little talent pool. I don't know if he was there when Harding was there also.
Yep.
But I think he was.
Yeah.
And I would say that.
But he took all of those young guys and turned them into one of the best franchises in the NBA, and they're in a dump called Oklahoma City.
That's amazing. It's an amazing story what they've been able to do with that franchise. Of course, they hit the lottery dead on the button, and
as the Seattle Supersonics, though, before they moved to Oakland. I mean, that's how, or Oklahoma City. That, yeah.
I thought they hit Durant
in
first
Seattle.
Year in Oklahoma. Oh,
Seattle,
did he?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. I think that he's done a great job. I really do. But you know, with that kind of talent, I know Durant was on the bench for a long time, but Westbrook was just playing out of his mind and might even, I don't know.
Serge Ibaka, I think, was injured. They traded away Glenn Perkins.
It really is. I don't know if he's our guy. I don't think so. I don't think Flip. I think it's kind of funny. He said he would let us know when something like that happened, and he didn't really let us know. It just kind of surfaced that he had extended the position to Chauncey Billups.
Just got another Twitter question. Make sure you ask the superstar if he has my couple 13-14 tickets for Cary Noble on your four and a half questions.
What's that?
Guy, make sure you ask the superstar if he has my couple 13, 14 tickets for Carrie Noble on your point of questions.
I suppose so, man. I mean, who knows? I mean, she's gigging all summer long. She's doing everything going. Where are we going? We're going to a place called, is it Abercrombie in North Dakota? I think it's Abercrombie, North Dakota.
Why go all the way to North Dakota? They have one in Roseville in the mall. Question three.
That was actually pretty good. That was a very good one, and she will be back here at Dakota.
She's amazing.
Yeah, she's good.
We've shot the breeze about Adrian Peterson, his agent Ben Dagra, how douchey we think he is. This week he posted a picture on social media with an Adrian Peterson jersey in the background, wearing a Tampa Bay Buccaneers hat. The Pioneer Press asked an extremely important question this morning about how much of a dingleberry Dagra is by asking, who's a bigger turd burglar? Is it Ben Dagra or Steve Ott?
Dagra. I mean, Ott's doing his thing. I mean, that's what this league is all about, especially playoff hockey. Are you kidding me? I mean, this guy plays it to the T.
Yeah.
He's doing a perfect job of doing what he does for a living. Dagra, on the other hand, is the cheesiest slap nut any of us know. For the douche to be sitting there with a Tampa Bay Buccaneer hat on, you know, given the old, you know, the, looks like a gang sign or something, while he's sitting in front of a Peterson jersey, what a clown.
And we'll talk about the Bucs and maybe Adrian Peterson going to Tampa Bay. On Tuesday morning, Bucs general manager Jason Licht appeared as a guest on 620 WDAE. It's the sports page with Rick Stroud of Tampa Bay. He asked Licht about the photo and what it could mean. This was his response. I'm not going to comment on that, as he said, laughing.
Yeah.
But
it's all fun and games.
But this website, which is called thebaycave.com, has reported, I'm trying to find it here, the Buccaneers have been in contact with Minnesota general manager Rick Spielman. Where the two talks, the two sides remain to be seen. But we do know that the Jaguars and Dallas Cowboys have both shot down the idea of trading for Peterson in the public. The Buccaneers have not. According to the Bay Cave, Minnesota's demands are not as high as reports say they actually are. We'll talk about that here in just a little bit. We have a couple more questions. In fact, a very important question, question number four. We talked about, we'll talk more about this on Friday, Bruce Transgender. When the two-hour Bruce Transgender special is set to air on his alleged transition to a woman. Bruce Jenner, once named the greatest athlete in the world, has reportedly decided to live the rest of his life the way he feels the most comfortable as a woman. This may sound a little odd, but watching the previews of the interview, and I'm sure he's caked on makeup and the lighting is just right and whatnot, but it's kind of attractive for an old lady. If you weren't married and I could hook you guys up, would you be down to get down with Bruce Transgender?
It was the fourth question?
Yeah.
Yes. I think I would like that very much. I don't know. I mean, that's just me. Yeah. I don't know.
I'm not even kidding.
Is that awkward?
I'm not even kidding, and I don't know if I should feel weird about this, but when they were doing the preview and they showed him with the makeup on and whatnot, I was like,
hey. Well, I mean, and you have the phone number, huh? You can hook us up.
Yeah, if
you
I
get
can.
The number.
Yeah.
Oh.
But
how'd you get the number? Maybe you have intentions of maybe.
Well, you never know. You never do know.
Yeah, I don't know. I probably not. Probably not. I am so much more happily married than I think I would be with Miss Jenner.
Yeah.
But he's a wonderful human being, and that's
of course.
I can say that.
So absolutely interesting, and there's a reason why it's going to be a two-hour special and one of the most watched things on TV Friday night on ABC with Diane Sawyer.
You have nice legs.
I don't know.
As far as
I don't know. I have no idea.
All right.
Four and a half questions. Here's the half question. Last night we stayed on the radio till about 7:30 discussing the Vikings 2015 regular season schedule. One word response on your thoughts on the Vikings schedule next season.
One word to describe that. I'm going to say, let's just put it very simply, difficult.
Rated the number one most difficult schedule.
As we were going through those and the way they fell and the away games to start and the Monday night game to start with Frisco, I mean, I'm like, this is burly.
Yes.
Maybe that's the word. That burly is the one word response.
Playing all eight teams in the AFC and NFC West.
That's
probably
the
best division.
It's a tough outfit.
In each conference. So we'll talk about the NFL regular season schedule coming up next break. Also, the coldest. The Vikings also have the coldest, or what?
I played in a deep freeze before when I played with New England. All of our home games were outdoors, and anyone that we played in our division at that time, New York, Buffalo. I mean, we always got a break in the schedule with Miami back in
those
days.
New England and Buffalo does not get as cold as Minnesota.
Well, you know, you're right. You're probably right on the average, but this, in 1989, I don't know why, for whatever reason, in Boston that year, it was an icebox. And by the way, we had no indoor facility to practice. We were out every night in practice, same thing every single night. Come on back, everyone. Enough of my problems. The Vikings' 2015 regular season, as Ben Holson just mentioned. We'll delve into that again right after the break.
From the locker room to your radio, tune in the Wake Up Call from the writers of Cold Omaha every Sunday morning at 8.
Peterson has made fans uneasy with his return because he has been so obnoxiously vocal with how uneasy he is with us. If Peterson had come back and just kept his mouth shut, we wouldn't bat an eyelash. We would welcome him back and cheer for him to score touchdowns.
I mean, for Peterson, this isn't home, and it seems like it never has been.
The Wake Up Call with Cold Omaha on Minnesota's Sports Radio. 105 The Ticket.
Hockey playoffs are back in Minnesota, and Rogaszewski, Rogaszewski & Atkins are proud sponsors of Radioactive Sports and our live broadcast from Tom Reed's. Rogaszewski, Rogaszewski & Atkins have been practicing criminal defense law, including DUI offenses in South St. Paul for over 60 years. When everything's on the line, you need a criminal defense firm that has the experience to get you the best possible result. Visit Rogaszewski, Rogaszewski & Atkins at rogo-law.com. And remember, before you blow, call All Rogo.
Back to Radioactive Sports. The superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
I think everybody gets excited, you know, when you get a chance to kind of look at the schedule and you kind of see what games you have to play and where you have to play them, and if you have Monday night games or the different primetime games. I think all that's exciting, and then to be able to go in there and play at Green Bay January 3rd, nice and cold, and a chance to play for something really special could be fun.
The voice of Coach Mike Zimmer, head coach, Minnesota Vikings, explaining how nice that could be to play there in Green Bay early in January, and I've had to do it many times. And you know what? I mean, that's just the way football is. I mean, you start off in the dog days of summer, and you end up in an icebox by the end of the season if you play up here in Minnesota or Green Bay. That's the way it goes.
It would be a much bigger difference, though, if the Minnesota Vikings were still playing in the Metrodome or their brand new stadium and weren't used to playing outdoors. But this year, I mean, Teddy Bridgewater, Anthony Barr, those guys know no difference. The rookies that they're going to draft, and some of these other, I mean, Mike Wallace obviously is going to shiver his
and he was the one that was so worried about it anyway when he.
But there are so many other roughnecks. Chad Greenway, the offensive line. I mean, come on.
They're all rough now. Greenway's from South Dakota. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
They're all tough guys. And he played at Iowa, too, so it's pretty chilly down in Iowa City.
Iowa's like Florida compared to here.
Well,
it is.
It's had its moments. I live down there. I know what the hell I'm talking about, Ben.
Iowa does not get as cold as, I mean, well, no, we had snow here yesterday.
We did, didn't we?
That's the kind of crap we have to do.
Well, they had a tornado in Iowa, so there. Why does that matter? I don't think that's cold.
Any of the games?
But I'm sorry, go ahead.
Any of the games stick out to you? I know yesterday we had talked about it before and after. I want to say you had said we'll be somewhere between 10 and 6, 11 and 5. Last year I want to say Vegas has our odds at around 9 and 7 already.
Okay. Well, barring injury and I can tell you what happened last year is they said we were only good for 6.5 wins.
Which was easy. That was easy money.
I thought, wow, I mean, if we can keep this kind of team that I just saw at training camp together, I don't think there's any problem doing that. Well, we lost everybody, including Adrian Peterson. And
still did it.
And we still did it. We got to 7. So I would say that I think it's a very doable number to go to 9, and I will put my money where my mouth is with Vegas to go 10. I'll go 10. You have to hope and keep your fingers crossed. But a second year for Bridgewater, I know he's going to get better. He's not going to have a sophomore slump. That's just not his deal. If they ever have an offensive line in front of him, that would be one stipulation that would make me nervous. If they don't get that taken care of, they don't get it handled, that's going to be a tough deal. I mean,
but you trust the Minnesota Vikings, Zimmer and Rick Spielman, Dick Springfield, Richard Springsteen, whatever his name is today. You trust them to get the job done. You don't
I do.
You don't trust them. I mean, you don't think that they're going to get Teddy Bridgewater in here, first round draft pick, 32nd overall last year, coming into a sophomore season. They're not going to leave him naked back there. They want him to succeed just as much as you and I do, because their jobs depend on it.
Absolutely.
Spielman's in particular.
Yeah, I mean, Richard Spielberg absolutely is worried about it. I mean, I hope he drafts, you know, a couple offensive linemen that would fit his Jurassic Park theme. I made it funny. Okay, and then so I really think that, that if they protect Bridgewater, and I don't know what the running back situation is going to be, and none of us do, but I can say this. If the offense stammers a little bit, I would say that his defense, Mike Zimmer's defense, can pull up the slack. I think it will be better. I think it will be improved. And I think they'll be on the same page, because it was a new system for everybody last season. I like Coach Zimmer's defense, and I really believe that we can one up that.
Toughest schedule in the NFL, according to people that talk about that kind of stuff and write articles about that kind of stuff. We'll also talk to our Cold Omaha writer, Sam Ekstrom. Wrote the article, which
he's overrated. You know what?
It's who is Sam Ekstrom?
Yeah,
he seems like a nice guy.
Where is he at right now? Today?
He's back at the radio station. He's running our controls.
Oh, he's running our show right now.
You can turn your microphone off if you smack talk him.
Well,
but I mean, it's funny because the article that he wrote, it goes week by week. And just for example, week nine. The case for the win. Did you see week one, game one last year? The case for loss. Mm-hmm. Nick Foles is their quarterback now.
That's a whole different game when you play the St. Louis Rams this time around. I think a lot of the different people that we're going to play, including San Francisco that we lead off with for one of those first of two Monday Night Football games.
San Francisco, do you realize that all of their linebackers retired? Harbaugh's gone. Peterson will be playing his first game back in purple. He'll be untackleable. Going to run over him. His article is fantastic. And like I said, we'll talk to him coming up at 6 o'clock tonight. You can read it.
Ayupati's gone.
Yeah, you can read it.
Kaepernick, not himself, and Crabtree, I think, still looking to be re-signed somewhere. I'm not sure if he's signed.
No, I think he signed with the Oakland Raiders, or was going to.
I heard he was going to. I wasn't sure if it was confirmed yet or not, but that's what we have to look forward to. It's going to be a tough deal at their place to begin the season. Come on back, everybody. We have this guy that we contact from time to time. Well, let's
live
just say every day. Every day. So he's going to give us the old throwdown as to what's going to happen and the state of the Minnesota Wild today. Jim Rich will join us from Fox 9 Sports. Jim Rich is up next.
Here's Sports Radio 105, The Ticket on iHeartRadio.
That's the one.
Know what to expect from them. I think both teams recognize the importance of the game, so it's going to be up to which team can go out there and execute their game plan the best at the end of the night, which will tell the story.
Yes, indeed, that will tell the story, and a great storyteller is who we have with us right now, joining us, Mr. Rich, Jim Rich. I'm just guessing. You might be over here across the street from us right now. We're at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. I'm guessing you're probably at the Excel Center right now.
I am. It's game night. Let's go, boys. This is a big one.
Yes, it is. It's a huge one. There's probably nobody going to be more excited. Are you loopy like this because you stayed up to watch that, what was it, a triple overtime Nashville Predators-Chicago Blackhawks game last night? I ended up falling asleep. It was too late. These 8:30 games at my advanced age, it's so tough for the kids to watch the games and this and that. I'm complaining. But we're gonna crush them tonight.
They have games starting at 6 o'clock. You know, you gotta put them somewhere. Everybody's on national television now. So, you know, the hockey fans can't complain they can't see them. Now you can see these games. So, yeah, they may be a little late. They run a little late. How about those people in Chicago? I think they got out of there at 1:30 in the morning after that game last night. I mean, how crazy was that? But that's the beauty of the Stanley Cup. It's no shootouts. It's no rigmarole. It's we play until there's a winner, and if you got to get up tomorrow and play again, so be it.
Well, I mean, there's no question we're going to have to get up tomorrow and play it. There's no question. And we're a team that's ready for anything that would fall our way. After what we've been through this year already, Jim, starting off the way we did, and then now finding ourselves skating about as strong as anybody in the NHL right now. In fact, Mark Parrish went on to say that it was one of the best games that he's seen played in a playoff game from start to finish, this last game, that is, against the St. Louis Blues, that he's seen in a long time.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And I think what's happening with the Wild is that they've been in this playoff mode since Dubnyk arrived. They had so little margin for error. I mean, I remember we were talking back in January saying, okay, they have to win 65% of their games to get in. You know, so, and we're going like, wow, geez, that's nearly impossible. But this group did it, and they did it by focusing on what we are doing the next game. They don't care what happened the game before them. They don't project too far out. Like today we were in the locker room talking to them about, you know, you win tonight, you're up 3-1. They don't want to address that. They just want to look at tonight's game and go out and do exactly what they did the game before. And that's all they do. They try to improve on each shift. Yo says if we have a bad shift, that player comes back, we may tell him something, but other than that, it's forgotten. It's over with. We don't dwell on these things. And as goofy as it sounds and, you know, altruistic, you know, oh, well, we just clear our minds. We don't look at the big picture. I think that's what they're really doing, which is strange because all of us are looking at, oh, you can go up 3-1, wrap it up Friday, or worst case scenario, you come back home and kill them in game six. But these guys just look at the next shift. Okay, what do we got? Our pregame meal in an hour. We'll come here, eat, grab something to drink, warm ups, play the game.
Which is, I think, a perfect way to look at it. We're talking to Jim Rich from Fox 9. I was already thinking about this morning as I was waking up, working out, driving to work, going, Chicago Blackhawks, round two. Let's see here. How's that going to go? And then I'm like, wait a second here. Got to focus on tonight. As just as a fan, I don't have to go out and play the game. We just have to focus on tonight because if we lose tonight, out goes home ice advantage, which we have now by winning that game one down in St. Louis. We lose tonight, then the home ice advantage goes back to St. Louis. Two games in St. Louis, one game back here to wrap up the regular the series round one. So you cannot get outside of yourselves. Also at practice and some audio that we pulled from the guys and Mike Yeo and Chris Stewart and Ryan Suter, just saying, you know what? We're not going to be selfish. We're not going to fight these guys. We're not going to make stupid mistakes. We're not going to make penalties. We're not going to fall into their trap. This is about the team. This isn't about me, Chris Stewart, taking a hit from one of the guys in the St. Louis Blues and getting upset and fighting back. It's bigger than me. It's bigger than that. This is all about team. This is about winning. And that's a great attitude for this team to have. And I think a lot of reason why they've come such a long way, Jim.
Yeah, and Ken Hitchcock, the coach of the Blues today, talked about that with his meeting with the press. He said, we have to realize as the St. Louis Blues that we're playing a team that's on a roll. And they've been on a roll for months. It's not like they got into the playoffs and then they've changed their game and it's a brand new system, it's a brand new style. He said, these guys know it inside and out. They know every shift what to do. And they've been playing for the team. Nobody's looking for personal accolades. You know, Dubnyk isn't talking about, well, I should win the MVP. Dak's not talking about that he should be the most valuable player.